We've been talking about in this last few weeks healing, health, wholeness in your life and mine. So a couple weeks ago, we started speaking about spiritual healing, which God gives instantaneously. The evidence, the thief on the cross. Healed and ready for heaven in a moment. God does that in a way that we can't understand. We talked about intellectual healing, the fact that truth comes into our lives and delusion comes into our lives. Intellectual healing is having our lives be aligned with the Word of God so that what He tells us and we live by is truth. That's intellectual healing. And we spoke about emotional healing for a couple weeks. This morning I wanted to do a bit of a summary, if you will. And I want you to think about it this way. If you like to imagine with your eyes closed, you can do this. Because this is your life right now. Imagine yourself in a waiting room. Imagine yourself in the great physician's waiting room. That's where you are right now. You're in the great physician's waiting room. Assessment room number 3, let's call it. And as you sit in the examination room, you look around and there's no one else that you can then try to assume what's wrong with them. You're just by yourself. And as you're seated in the great physician's waiting room, of course, if you're anything like me, you get bored with the magazines really quickly because you're just waiting for the great physician to say, you're next. Newspapers are kind of boring. Magazines are boring. So you start to look in the posters of the wall. Look at a poster on the wall and it says, optimal health just ahead. That builds up your anticipation of what's coming from the great physician in terms of healing you. You look around and you see another poster that says, heal. What is this all about? Well, healing is a verb to cause a wound or injury or a person to become sound, to become healthy again, to make well, to make better, to cure, to heal, to treat, to restore to health, to alleviate, correct, put right, ease, assuage, relieve, help, lessen, mitigate, attenuate, and allay. The great physician's also waiting because there's some things you have to do in your own life. You look to another poster, and like Julie's story, we have a map. And the map that is a map of Canada says pluralism, tolerance, liberalism, emotionalism, fundamentalism, low expectations, bad theology, skepticism. Protect yourself today. Because I realized when thinking through waiting in God's great physician's waiting room, that you and I are afflicted with a disease. And it comes from where we're from. It comes from where we're at. And no, pluralism is not wrong, and tolerance is not wrong, and liberalism, and emotionalism, these aren't wrong in themselves. But our environment that we're in has produced something called skepticism, which you all have, and so do I. Janet and I worked with a man at the Salvation Army who was a volunteer there. His name was Bob. Bob was a brilliant man who lived a really interesting life. But he had a favorite saying. His favorite saying was, and he was about 92 when I got to know him, yeah, right. Nice day today, Bob. Yeah, right. And I have to confess that I'm embarrassed to say that we would have some fun with Bob, and he would laugh too, because it was his favorite saying, so we would start to ask him things like, lived an interesting life, Bob? Yeah, right. Happy to be with us today? Yeah, right. That's skepticism, and you have it, because Canadians have it. You hear it in different ways as we live our lives, the skepticism of not believing anything, being true skeptics. It comes about because of the inputs of pluralism and tolerance. We accept all truths, and then we end up being skeptics of all truth. Liberalism and emotionalism and fundamentals, which has taken us from a healthy place in theology of understanding healing to a skeptical place in which I've been before praying and realizing that my attitude is, God won't do this. That's skepticism. He can do it. I'm praying that he'll do it. Why am I starting off with doubt? Because I'm a skeptic. So let me ask you some questions. Do you? Do I? Does our church have a healthy perspective on God's healing? Do you? Do I? Have a healthy practice in seeking healing? Do we have a robust theology of the mystery of God's will? Do we have a robust theology of holistic healing and the theology of suffering? Let me take you back to the waiting room. As you sit in the waiting room, you look out over at a video board and you see this picture of a sky and a vapor trail that makes a turn. And something inside of you says, oh yeah, for my good health, I have to make a change. I can't get to someplace new if I keep doing what I've always done before. I have to make a change. And then, at the bottom of the video screen, it says, the great physician is now seeing number... And you look at your ticket to see what number you are. As you're sitting there, a nurse comes over to you with a clipboard. Perhaps you're next. After all, you're the only one in the room. Nurse comes over with a clipboard to explain three things to you before you see the great physician. Things you need to know. And as you're talking to the nurse, she shares with you these three things. Before we see the great physician, we need to know that there are three dynamics at work. There is he. There is e. And there is we. It's really the only dynamics that's happening. Nothing else. There are no aliens, no zombies. There are nothing from foreign cultures. There is only three things, three forces in this world. God's work, the work of the devil, and your decision in the middle. Or you could also say, well, we are all other people and all other part of creation. There is only the creator, the evil one, and all of creation. That's what it really comes down to. So I thought as we think about this, and if you want to stay with the thought of the nurse of the great physician, she shares this with you. The great physician loves you. If you want evidence for that, just pinch yourself. You exist, that's proof of God's love. If God did not want you to exist, do you really think you would? Is there evidence in the Bible of people who really angered God to the uttermost whereby he ended their life? Yes, there is. So the fact that you and I continue to live our lives, even when we're at our worst, even if we've had the worst experience this week in our own sin, you're still living. He still loves you. He loves you. Evidence is your life. Regardless of how you assess it, you live it. He loves you. Number one, he can and he does heal your soul, your mind, your heart, your body, and your relationships. One of the things that I've realized as we've thought through this whole process of healing and health is that we have to have a far larger view of God, because he giving us life and sustaining us must mean that he heals us all the time, whether we ask for it or not. Have you ever been sick before and come through that and been healthy again? Yes, many times. Who did the healing? Well, I did all by myself. No, you didn't. The life that God has given you has the capability, number one, but also he has done things behind the scenes that you and I don't recognize. He's healing all the time. He heals us spiritually. He did so in Christ years ago. He heals our mind. We can have healthy minds, and he heals our minds, our heart, our emotions, our body, our relationships, we read the Word of God and we're lifted up in that because we read a psalm. What's happening? He's healing you. God is healing all the time. The great physician is always at work. So to say we need to specifically ask for healing for certain things in our life can get offside because it puts us in control and says we're the ones that direct this healing. He's the great physician that does it all the time. We may be asking him for specific things, but he's healing us all the time. And he can heal us because he wants to be in relationship with us. He invites our participation in healing. Have you been sick before with the flu or a cold and busy? And inside you, there's that voice that says, would you stop already? Slow down. Have a rest. He invites our participation in healing. I'm not saying he won't heal without us, but he is gentle and kind in how he treats us. And he invites us in our will. Go back to Jesus. What was Jesus' often questioned that he asked people who were sick? Do you want to be healed? Does that say he couldn't heal them from afar? No, he healed lots of people from a distance. Sometimes their parents or friends asked him for healing and he healed them. But Jesus does not barge into your life. God does not insist his presence and say he's going to heal you because you are required to do so. Let me share this text with you. Colossians 3 says, since then you've been raised with Christ, accepting Christ into your life, set your heart on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things, for you died. And your life is now hidden with Christ. When Christ is your life appears, then you also will appear for him in glory. As Christians accepting Christ into your life, you are living for him. You belong to him. But he still invites our participation in healing, our will. And he heals in fulfillment with his will and his word and his way. That's what he does. God loves you. He can and does heal. He does not force his way into your life. If you want to keep living sick, he does not insist that you're healthy. He loves you. Doesn't want you to live this way, but he will not force his healing upon you. He invites our participation into that, and he heals in fulfillment with his will and his word and his way. I think God is, my own opinion, is that God is way too generous with his healing. Because I've been healed, promising my life to God, I'll do whatever you want, I'll give you whatever you want, just heal me now. 3 days later, I'm doing my own thing all over again. Does God withdraw his healing? No. He's incredibly gracious about how he gives us healing, even when I don't keep my word. That's God. That's he. That's the great physician. That's whose room you're waiting in to be healed. Let's talk about E. Lucifer hates you. Jesus says he steals and kills and destroys. Why that order? Well, first he steals from you, steals your joy, steals your peace, steals your comfort, steals your contentment. He steals from you. He kills you because ultimately he'd like to see you die. In fact, he brought about death. His temptation of Adam and Eve, Genesis 3, he brought about death. That's what happened. And now we're all going to die because of that. He brought that about, and he destroys. What does he destroy? He destroys our life's work. He destroys our legacy. He destroys everything good can be part of our life, because that's what he hates. And he does this. He still kills and destroys just to spite God. He has nothing particular against you. He doesn't hate you because of who you are. He hates you because of who God is, and you're one of God's favorites. Doesn't like that. Jesus said the devil that was a murderer from the beginning, he cannot hold on to truth. There's no truth in him. He's a liar and the father of lies. The devil has power of sin and pain and sickness and destruction and death. We see this in Genesis 3 and 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5:8, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You want to give him this week, he'll destroy it. Resist him, stand firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of suffering. And the God of all grace, who called you into his eternal glory in Christ, after you've suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. Who's bringing about sickness in your life? Could be, well be the devil. He pre-stages, he does things in our life that he doesn't want it to end this way, but the way that he does so actually brings about our maturity and our holiness and our redemption and our perfection. He hates that. In Christ, the things that you go through, if you allow God to work through you and raise you up in him, will actually bring about deeper maturity. Holiness, being set apart from God. Redemption. Good news is that the devil and all of evil is in decline. His future has already been decreed. Oh, I get it. Living in our world today, you may say, whoa, that's hard to believe that the devil's end has been decreed and he's in decline, because he sure doesn't seem to be in decline. He seems to be getting greater power and more people willing to give him. But his decree has been declared. 1 John 4:4, you, dear children, are from God. You have overcome them because the one who is in you is greater than the one who's in the world. The one inside of you is greater than the devil. Let's talk about we. You know, you and I actually already belong to God. He made us as his creation. We belong to him. In terms of ownership, you belong to God. If you're a Cabbage Patch doll stamped on your backside, Yahweh's. Is that a bad image for any of you? Don't check yourself. You belong to God. You really belong to God. You have God's image upon you. Otherwise, you'd be a raccoon or a squirrel. You are God's. You're made in God's image. If we belong to someone, we then yield to him and accept his sovereignty over the one who already owns us. We are also together in how we suffer and how we heal. This is an emphatic statement, not a something you have to deeply believe. We suffer together, and we heal together. I'd like someone to sneeze right now. Will someone sneeze for me right now? Because someone else is going to go, I don't want to suffer with. We suffer together, right? That's what it means to be a human being, is we suffer together, and we celebrate healing together. And that's largely lost in the church, is that we, in North America, in my opinion, we've backed away from suffering together, and we've backed away from being healed together. It's the devil's work. He doesn't want us in community with each other. He doesn't want us in community with God. So he separates us out. He breaks us up. So we can think we can do church all by ourselves. Tell me how you love one another watching TV by yourself. You can be built up. You can reflect on God's word. But it's going to build up inside until you're going to spill out to love one another. We're together in this. You just need to want and you need to ask God's healing in the area of your life that he provides. He will not strong arm you. He will not force you into areas where you need spiritual healing or intellectual healing. He will not take away everything in your house that when you read it, it's a delusion. You know, like things that tell you the world is going to end without God's direction. That's a delusion. It's not going to happen. I don't know if you've seen the show Life After Humans. It shows like 10 years after humans are gone, what will the world look like? And then 20 years after humans, what will it? It's all delusion. This world will not end. Humanity will not end before the world ends. Well, the Bible says. It's delusion for us to believe wholly in something that is a lie. God will heal us intellectually. God will heal us emotionally. Which I found in looking at this present series, emotional healing is probably one of the deepest areas that we need. It's a blessing to live in Canada and to have physical healing actually more ready than most who have ever lived. Emotional healing is one of the hardest things, in my opinion. It needs the greatest amount of prayer. Let's dig into God's word here a little bit. Three things come about with the great physician that you need to know. It says, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. He proclaimed the good news of the kingdom, healing every disease and sickness. One of the indicators, one of the truths of this, one of the evidences of this is how fast the church grew when it started. Some people say, oh, this is just all gobbledygook. This is all made up. Then prove the growth of the church. Why would the growth of the church grow that fast under persecution if this isn't true? If Jesus hadn't been who he said he was. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus has good news for you. It's found in his word. It's found in who he is. And the good news that he has for you from the kingdom that you're in, he also has the capability, the power to heal every sickness and disease. He has the power to do that. Why is he willing to do that? Because he loves you. He has compassion on you. Let's go on. John 14 says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Jesus speaking to his disciples, you believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? If I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You may be at a point in your life whereby you say, I just need healing in this area. That may be very pressing for you. That may be something that's overwhelming for you. And we as a church can join with you and pray for you. But the truth is, that's not the end of God's plan. To heal you and let you live out this life, and then that's the end. But that's not the truth. Truth is, he's planning for something far richer for you. And his promise is he's going to prepare that eternal life. Think about that. Eternal perfected life that Jesus is preparing for you. You say, oh, I don't know how I'm going to get there like Thomas. He says, don't worry about that. I'm coming to pick you up. I'm preparing it for you, and I will come and get you to be where I am when you're ready to come. In other words, your healing, wholeness, having a good life, living till you're 130 years old, that is not God's final goal. It's to unite him face to tonight. You unite you face to face with him. Matthew 28:17. After he was resurrected, it says they worshipped him, the disciples did, and some doubted. Of human beings just like us. Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely, say it with me, I am with you always to the very end of the age. He's here right now. Okay, let's put those things together. He has the capability to deliver through his good news, healing for you because he loves you. He ultimately has a plan to take you to be where he is right now in heaven, but he's not only in heaven, he's here. When you put those three things together, he has the power to heal you, but that's not the final end. He has compassion on you even to see you through those struggles in life because he has a final plan for you and he's with you throughout it all. That's powerful to me. It's powerful that we serve a Lord and Savior who has this plan and can change our lives, can even make us stronger through the struggles that we're facing. But in praying to him, he can heal our hearts, our souls, our minds, our bodies, and relationships. So the question remains, do you want to ask him? I think I do. I think I'd like to see that healing happen amongst us and in my life, even in areas that I don't even know I'm sick in, that God would reveal to me and say, Ken, you need to be whole. I want you to be whole. I want you to heal through this. We ask. God says, I love you. I have the power to heal you. I heal in accordance to my word, my will, and my way. So yes, there may be struggles that you're going through. You may be going through, facing struggles right now that I'm actually going to allow you to continue to struggle through because I'm teaching you something, and you need to just turn to me, and I will teach you what I want to teach you through my word and my will and my way. My desire ultimately is to you to know me. Let me define your healing, and you'll be truly free. Just ask. I've really wrestled during the series of how we pursue this together. Let's pray. Our loving Father, God, who has given us our very selves, our Savior, Lord Jesus, who was willing to die when we were in our sin, to pay for that gap between us and God, so that we may see you face to face. Divine Holy Spirit, please bind the evil that we face, that seeks to trip us up, that seeks to tempt us into sin and destruction and death. Please release us from oppression, from affliction. We proclaim today that evil has been defeated by the power of Jesus' shed blood. He is our Lord. Jesus is Lord. God, amongst us, in our lives, there are distances between us and you, areas that are weak and that we are sick, times in which we just feel ill. I thank you, God, for your love. I thank you for all the times in which you've healed our soul and our mind and our heart and our body and relationships. I pray for these, my friends, for myself, that you would open our eyes in praise and joy and delight, that you've sustained us, which means that you've healed us from time to time. I pray that you'll forgive us for our lack of faith, our rebellion, our sin. Have mercy on us, God, as we live in this culture that tempts us towards great skepticism to believe nothing. We need you. We belong to you. We need your love and your life. We yield to you to participate for the small amount that I do in my healing, compared to what you do. We are listening. We want to hear your truth. We have faith in you. Indeed, we abandon ourselves to you that thy will be done. That we together welcome your will in our lives, because in faith you give us the richest life that we would ever ask or imagine. We request healing. We pray for a new level of your healing and your leading. We think of others in our lives whom we also pray for, that you would heal them. We accept the building of our faith for us to believe what you are doing, what you are about to do, and how you draw close to us to encourage us in times of confusion. I pray, Lord, that you'll hear our prayers, even as you lead individuals amongst us to pray. Please raise us up so that we would pray the prayers that you would have for us. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, we acknowledge that with your Son, Jesus Christ, there was no holy place. There was no holy time set aside necessarily in which he did his work. He had the power to be anywhere at any time and heal people. We know, Lord God, that many times as human beings we set aside holy places or holy times, or we try to put holy markings on them, and that's of our own doing. And we confess, Lord God, that times in our life in which we've made sacraments and rituals of things that you did not want us to. I pray that you would heal us and that we would celebrate that healing and acknowledge the healing that you've already done because of the power of Jesus Christ, and not because our place or our power or our spiritual gift, but because you love us and you want, Lord God, for us to be whole, so that we recognize you when we open our eyes one moment after death. I thank you for your great promise that you would come back to get us, to take us, to be the place where you are in eternal life. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, in these quiet moments, in which you, by your promise to us, you are here. And as we open our hearts to you to give us peace and joy and love and hope, I pray that we are willing to open the gates and to break down the walls between us and you. I pray that you'll remove from us our guilt whereby we think we're not acceptable for you, even acceptable to you, even though you've said, I have given you life through my blood, which covers all sin. I pray that we're simply willing to yield to you and say, here's who I am, God. I want to be healed. I want to be whole. I give you who I am, and I pray that you'll work through me and in me to heal me in every way, because why would I just want you to heal me one way? You are the great physician. We wait upon you and thank you for your great love for us from the Father that unites us with you. Pray, Holy Spirit, that you continue to weigh upon us and build us up. Give us the great delight of the Father as we come home to you. Lord, hear our prayers. Lord, for hearing all of our silent and our spoken prayers today, I thank you. I thank you that you continue to work in and through us and take great delight in us. Your image stamped upon us, marked upon us. I pray that you'll continue to show us your way. Amen.